Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
People often ask if a Christian can be possessed by the devil. And the answer is yes. Of course, the trouble that they have, or perhaps the trouble you have with this answer, is that it doesn't seem reasonable that a person can be saved by the Spirit and at the same time possessed by the devil. Well, you know something? It would help you to understand what possessed means. The word possessed is defined in Webster's Third New International Dictionary as, listen, influenced or controlled by something. Influenced or controlled by something, as an evil spirit or a passion. Webster's 1828 Dictionary defines possessed as affected by demons or invisible agents. So in either definition, possessed doesn't mean owned by. Think about it. When a person is driving drunk, he is said to be driving under the influence. The alcohol is influencing him. The alcohol is controlling him, but it doesn't own him. And likewise, possessed by the devil, then, doesn't mean that the devil owns a Christian. God owns him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, the devil, when it says possessed, that means the devil is influencing him. The devil is controlling him. And let me tell you something, the devil can surely influence and control a Christian. Let's consider a couple of examples. Turn first of all with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I realize in Matthew chapter 16 we're dealing with an event before the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, watch. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 23, what happens is that Peter makes a confession, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So Peter got that revelation from God the Father. Then later, the Lord tells his disciples in verse 21 how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he, in verse 23, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter was the Lord's disciple. And in spite of his impetuosity, you know, just kind of going after doing what he wanted to do, listen, the Lord never lost him. And that's important when you think about Peter and what's happening to him at the time. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And he even clarifies in verse 38 and 39 what he means by that. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And when Jesus Christ is praying to his Father in John chapter 17 and verse 12, he says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept." That includes Peter. "And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So the point is that though this took place before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter is the Lord's disciple. He is being kept by the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was talking to the devil, who was talking through Peter. The devil influenced Peter. Listen, the devil influenced Peter to rebuke the Lord. He had to have been in Peter for the Lord to say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Just a thought. But listen, let's look at something after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 5. Look at Acts chapter 5. Not trying to come up with some strange doctrine, but just we need to really understand truly what the Bible says about this, because I know there's a lot of confusion among people whether or not the devil can possess somebody after they get saved. Well, look in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 1, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias," now watch it, look at the question that Peter is asking Ananias, "Why hath Satan," look, "filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Why hath Satan filled thine heart? You see that? Satan had filled Ananias' heart. Do you know what that is by definition? That's being possessed by the devil despite the fact that Ananias was saved. You see, sometimes people will say, "Well, yeah, but that was just an unclean spirit." Whether Satan himself fills the heart or an unclean spirit fills the heart, the man is still possessed by the devil. Consider the case of the man in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. All right, in Mark chapter 5, in verses 1 through 16, we're reading about this man in the Gadarenes. And look, this is the guy that has the legion in him, and 2,000 swine, you know, go drown themselves in the sea. Notice this. Notice very carefully. In these verses that are in this passage, he was a man with an unclean spirit in verse 2. A man with an unclean spirit. In verse 8, when Jesus Christ is talking to this spirit, he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Notice, an unclean spirit, and he's using it as a singular. Then in verse 12, all the devils besought him, saying. So that unclean spirit is all the devils that are in him. And then in verse 13, forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, now plural, went out. And then notice in verses 15 and 16, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Verse 16, and they saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So all these words are used interchangeably to describe what possessed the man. An unclean spirit, devils, unclean spirits, and the devil. Therefore, whether a person is possessed by unclean spirits or devils, he is still possessed by the devil. Do you see it? And when Peter is talking to Ananias and Sapphira, he says, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And when Jesus addresses the work of the devil in Peter's life, he says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So it's very careful, you know, it's very necessary for us to clarify these things and build on the foundation of a proper understanding about what's really going on when a person is possessed. He's influenced by or controlled by the devil. Now, the devil's main tool is deception. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we see this. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So that's his main tool is deception. That is, he will make you believe something is true that is really false. Or he will make you believe that something is false that is really true. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse 10 for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse 10. Verse 9 for the context. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So, you see, he's making somebody believe something is false that is really true. That's what he did to Peter. And the best defense against this deception is to find out what the truth is and believe it. The main reason that people get deceived is that they will not receive, as 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, the love of the truth. And today what we're doing is we're going to the Scripture to see what the truth is. So now the question is, I mean, you've seen these indications of men like Peter and Ananias who were influenced and controlled by the devil, and both times the person who's talking to him is addressing the work of Satan in their lives. So what are some indications that a person is possessed by the devil, other than the more obvious symptoms that we saw in the man in Mark chapter 5? I mean, you know, we've seen the boy in Matthew 17 that was possessed with the devil, and he was being cast into the water and cast into the fire. And in Mark chapter 5, this guy was crying. He was in the tombs. He was cutting himself with stones. He was naked. He was out of his mind. Literally was, because in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, which he hadn't done before because he was so restless, and clothed, which he wasn't before because he was naked, and in his right mind. And they were afraid, whereas before he was out of his mind. So those are some more obvious symptoms and show this, you know, this kind of this work of the devil that goes on sometimes in people. But what are some indications that a person is possessed by the devil, particularly since we're talking about the possibility that Christians can be possessed by the devil? And let's build from those who are lost to those that are saved, okay? Let's start with those that are lost. And one of the indications would be a blind mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4. A blind mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4. All right, in this passage, look at verse 3 for the context. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So they're preaching Christ Jesus, and there's some folks that are just not getting it. They're lost. What's the underlying problem? Look in the middle of verse 4. They believe not, okay? But what's happening is the God of this world hath blinded the minds. And the God of this world, small g, is the devil. The devil can blind the mind of them which believe not. And you can watch this take place when you witness to people who don't believe the truth of the gospel. I mean, seriously, they can't, and I'm doing the quotation marks now, they can't see the simplest explanation of the gospel? Because the devil has blinded their minds. Now listen, I don't know if you've done personal work, but if you have, when I talk about personal work, I mean witnessing to somebody and you're talking and going through the scripture. I mean, there are times, I'm telling you, when people just cannot get it. The Bible talks about the blindness in part that's happened to Israel. And that same kind of blindness, Jesus Christ is standing in front of these Jews, these men of Israel, when he is here in the earth during his earthly ministry. He's standing there demonstrating miracles that only God Almighty can do. He is absolutely sinless and they know it. They can't find one sin to accuse him. And all those things about him, you know, the things he's saying, the doctrine is absolutely of God, and the fulfillment of Scripture absolutely of God, and the Pharisees and others are looking at him, and they don't even see that he's the Messiah. A blind man got healed, and he said, I can see this, because if God weren't with him, there's no way he could do what he's doing. But they didn't see it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said of them in Matthew chapter 23, you're blind guides. You don't get it. You can't see it. And that's an indication. That's an indication of the work of the devil, the influence, the control, the possession of the devil is a blind mind that just can't see it. No matter which way you try, it just can't get it. I'll tell you another one. Another one is a void heart. This is very closely akin to what we're seeing. Luke chapter 8, we're talking now in the parable of the sower and the seed, a void heart. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 12, the seed is being sown, and you see that in verse 4 through 11, and then the interpretation starts in verse 11. The seed is the word of God, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Before people get saved, the devil can come and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's an amazing thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 15, also contains the interpretation of this parable and this portion of the parable. And you know what it says? These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, look, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. That's a shocking thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I've seen that. I mean, I didn't see the devil, you know, fly in, that kind of thing. I'm saying you see that word in and removed before they ever have a time to believe it. You see it in personal work when you're talking to people who are lost about the Lord Jesus Christ. You sow the word, and then you follow up to water the word, and it's like the word was never sown in their hearts the first time. I remember distinctly a man. I'm sure he's dead now. I can't remember how many times over a period of, let's say, 2 or 3 years that I went by his house. I don't remember. 6, 8, 12, I don't know. And I can remember that man was very nice. He would come out and stand on his porch, and we would talk. And I would go through the gospel, and then after a period of time, the Lord would remind me about him again, and I'd go to his house, and we'd talk again. I'm telling you, it was like I had never been there before. He knew who I was. He remembered that I'd come to talk with him, but we'd have to start all over from square one again. And the only thing I can say to you is, every time I gave him the sowed the seed of the Word of God and left, boom, there was somebody coming right behind me and taking it right out of that man's heart. I don't know another explanation. Here's another indication. Now, this is to Christians. A corrupt mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul addresses 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 to Christians. And he says this, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you know he's talking to Christians, because he says here, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And the context here is what the devil did with Eve in the garden there in verse 3. And what happens? What's the corruption? verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. The concern is that right behind the preaching of the Word of God, right behind the salvation of a soul, here comes somebody preaching another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. It happened to the Galatians. It happened to the Galatians. And Paul even said, "Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" That thing is an indication that this person with the corrupt mind is under the influence and control or possession of the devil. He warned against getting suckered into following another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel. I mean, the most vulnerable time for a Christian is right after he gets saved. Often what happens to a new Christian is he will get corrupted by somebody from a cult. And that's often, maybe not always, but that's often the work of the devil in direct opposition to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in the man. He's a Christian, but the devil is controlling him. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen many times. It's amazing. You'll hear preachers describe this event. It was a person gets saved. They're like a brand new born sheep out there in the pasture, and boom, here come the vultures. Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, sometimes they were saved out of the Catholic Church and all of a sudden pressure is being applied again to go back where they came from. And the mind gets corrupted about this simplicity of the salvation in Jesus Christ. And you know who it is? Many times, it's the devil. There you go. And look at another one. You say, what's an indication? A blind mind, a void heart, a corrupt mind. What's another one? A lascivious life. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. This is becoming more and more common, what we're getting ready to see here. A lascivious life. Now, before a person gets saved, he's under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. It's the devil working in people to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. Wherein time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. All right, so a person gets saved. That's supposed to be, all that stuff is supposed to be in the time past now. But look at the warning that Paul gives in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, 18, 19, 20, look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. And you know what he's telling these Christians? Look, he says, don't walk that way. You henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Why did he make that statement? Because he knew they could. And when you start walking that way again, guess who the influence is coming from? The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. You know, when a Christian goes back to a life of fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind and goes into a lascivious life, that is just an uncontrolled, lust, sometimes, I don't want to say every time, but sometimes it is due to the fact that he is possessed by the devil. That's not always the case. It's not always the case because in James chapter 1, look where sin comes from, verses 14, 15, and 16. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. But boy, I'll tell you, sometimes it's spiritual. And what happens to the fella in 2 Timothy, what happens to him or her, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here it is, black and white, addressed to Christians. Here's what happens to him. He is ensnared by the devil. Paul is writing to Timothy about some folks that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, watch it, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's possession. They're taken captive by him at his will. You see that? Now there's one other, I'm going to make it quick because we're getting close to the end of the broadcast. Another indication of devil possession is a sensual wisdom. A sensual wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, watch it, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There is a propensity toward this devilish wisdom today that is earthly and sensual in modern churches and modern translations of the Bible. The devil is leading them more on feelings and more on emotions than on doctrine. And when a Christian demonstrates this kind of wisdom, it can be an indication that he's possessed by the devil. I've seen it. Perhaps you've seen it. And listen, we live in the generation where this type of wisdom is absolutely drawing on us. We have to, in other words, we have to protect ourselves from this and stay with the wisdom of God that is in Genesis, that is in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Okay, well, we've come to the end of this study, but we must, listen, we must study what to do to protect ourselves from the devil and what to do in the event we find ourselves possessed by the devil, influenced by the devil. And we're going to do that in upcoming broadcasts. We'll pick this up in the next broadcast with some things to do to protect yourself and recover yourself if you ever find yourself in this situation. God help us.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.